Recording is on.
Do we officially have a record?
We do.
We need, you need 10.
Good, we have 10. Great, okay.
Our phone is across the street. I just saw it.
I'll call the meeting Beaverton Urban Redevelopment Agency Board for the purposes of our budget committee meeting. The first thing we should probably do is, I think most of us know each other, go around the room and do quick introductions. I'm Jim McCright, Chair of the Borough Board.
Mark Sansucci, City Councilor.
Kate Arnold, City Councilor.
Cadence Petros, disregard the tent, about the division manager.
Tyler Robinson, Bureau Staff Liaison.
Cheryl Tweedy, CDD, Bureau Executive Director.
Patrick Clem, the Bureau Treasurer, also the City of Beaverton's Finance Director.
Penny Doyle, I still have the last name of Doyle, Cadence. Mayor and member of the committee.
Ann Snyder, member of the Highland Neighborhood.
Mark Fagan, the City Councilor.
Jude Hughes, Beaverton resident.
Anessa Vitko, URAC.
Lacey Beatty, City Councilor.
Jennifer Nye, URAC.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, the election of our committee, budget committee chair and vice chair. I recognize Board Member Sansucci.
I would like to move that we nominate Jennifer Nye to be chair of the Bureau of Budget Committee and Ann Snyder to be vice chair of the Bureau of Budget Committee.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Other than those nominated. Good, thank you very much. And at this point, down on the agenda, I turn it over to the Budget Committee Chair for the remainder of the agenda.
Okay, so we have approval of the May 31st, 2016 meeting minutes. Does anybody have any corrections or discussion in the meeting minutes?
I need to abstain since I wasn't here. I think Lacey needs to too.
Yeah, I was also absent. Do you have quorum to pass if we abstain?
I think we just need quorum to meet. So, do we have a motion?
I'll move that the minutes of the May 13, 2016 Budget Committee meeting be approved as submitted.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Who seconded that? Sorry.
I never get to do that. Special honor.
And we have two abstentions, Kate and Lacey.
Great.
Oh, and Anessa. Okay. Next item, visitor comments. Is that Tyler or is that nobody in the audience? Okay, moving on. Cheryl.
Good evening, everyone. Patrick and I are here tonight to present the proposed fiscal year 17-18 budget for you. This is a pretty exciting time for us because we are finally getting liftoff on some very major projects within the PURA area. So, Anessa, thank you so much for all your work on Europe and helping to guide the work of this organization, and of course to our Bureau board members for their diligence and patience and prodding and support as we move forward. Tonight we'll be talking about the proposed fiscal year 17-18 budget, and as you can see from your packet, there's actually a revised proposed budget because of some circumstances that changed about a month ago, and we needed to be responsive to those changes in order to pursue the highest priorities for the district. We've also included in your packet a four-year forecast. We think it's important to be looking on a multiple year period and anticipating the needs and priorities of various projects as we go forward. But before we get into all the details and the numbers tonight, I'd like to take you back a few years and talk about where we've been and where we're going over the next few years. You all know that Bureau was approved by the voters of Beaverton back in 2011. So we have been working at this now for about 6 to 7 years. It's been a journey that we've been on, and I think you all should be very proud of the things that we've accomplished and the projects that we have in our pipeline at this point in time. Bura is literally changing the face of Beaverton. We are creating a true urban core for our community, and we know it's very much desired and wanted. And it's extraordinarily exciting for me personally to be a part of these efforts. Our TIF has grown very slowly but steadily over the years, and now we're really to the point where we have significant resources to be completing significant projects in our community. We'll be talking further about the largest capital project we'll probably be taking on as part of Bura during the life of this program, which is the new public parking garage across the way. That is a major accomplishment for our community. Things are exciting. We're building on past planning and moving forward now really on implementation. And in the past couple of years, we've seen an extraordinary number of projects completed in this area. We've seen 250 housing units completed in the Old Town area. We've just broken ground on 230 units out here on the Westgate property. The La Scala project over in Old Town is just about leased up with all their ground floor commercial. Their housing is
pretty much leased up,
so it's done extremely well. That tells us there's a market, there's a craving for this kind of an urban lifestyle. We also have other projects under construction in the Urban Renewal District that we're not direct sponsors of, but we're thrilled to have them happening, and we're really thrilled to have the tax increment that they're going to be generating. Well, we have a Marriott Hotel and Cracker Barrel Restaurant over on Canyon Road and 217. Cedar Hills Crossing is in a six-phase redevelopment project that'll take place over the next several years, but it's going to dramatically change the way Cedar Hills looks today. So over the next 18 to 24 months, it's going to look like a battle zone, but when it's all done, I think we'll be really proud of that new mixed-use amenity in our community. And also, quite significantly, the Kaiser Permanente Medical Center on Western and BH Highway is going to be getting construction this summer. Major investment for our community. And it'll be wonderful to have a new building that meets our planning guidelines. It's a building that goes out to the corners of the property, really begins to create an urban streetscape. And then downtown. We've all been talking for the last couple of years about the Beaverton Center for the Arts project. Now, that is not a Bureau project directly, that's a city project. But it's pretty important to the amenity building that we're trying to do in this location, and obviously it's the big driver for the public parking garage associated with it. We're also working with a hotel developer for the southeast corner of the Westgate property. We met with them again yesterday, and they brought their hotel franchisee with them and their architect, and they are very serious about that project. We'll be telling you more about that in the coming months, but right now they're looking at about 125-room, five-story hotel, and I think you'll be really pleased when you learn more about that.
So that's enough to cover what we think we need for the TLT fund then? I think it was like 115 units or something like that, so.
Yes, with the two hotels coming on board, that would make the city's TLT fund able to handle what we always planned for the TLT fund to be able to provide for.
Okay. Just a few other things I'd like to highlight for you. I know our city council members have heard this many times, but some of you maybe haven't had the ability to hear all this information. Last year, this current fiscal year, we made our first land acquisition, which was Lot 2, the surface parking lot that supports the commercial properties over here at the Round. And we continue to pursue other properties within the district. As you'll see, our resources are limited, so we need to have conversations with the mayor and the council and the Bureau Board about what our priorities are in the community.
Can you speak up just a little bit? I'm having trouble hearing
you. Yeah, sorry. Beginning your problem too. The public parking garage across the street adjacent to the Center for the Arts project is proposed to be about 335 spaces. And one of the reasons for the big change in the budget is the fact that that project cost estimate has increased from $15 million to $21 million. many reasons for that. Part of it is just, quite frankly, the dramatic increase in construction costs in this particular community. Our building environment is so heated up right now. It's very difficult to get contractors. It's very difficult to even get people to bid on your project. And even though this is a highly desirable project, there's a lot of demand and competition for subcontractors and talent out in the community as well. You heard last month about the Western Avenue study. We have nicknamed it the West 5 area. We'll see if that sticks and that becomes a new name for the area. Very important piece of work addressing a portion of our urban renewal district that we haven't really spent that much time thinking about yet. So that study lays the groundwork, and as you'll see, we've proposed one item in the budget to begin implementation in that area. Our storefront and our tenant improvement programs have been highly successful over the last few years. This current fiscal year, we've made 2 design grants with storefront and 9 improvement grants with the storefront program. Overall, over the last couple of years, we've provided 14 design grants and 15 improvement grants. So as you're driving around Old Town, you can kind of point out which buildings have had facelifts in the last couple of years, and we're definitely getting the effect that we had hoped. We've also approved 5 tenant improvement grants this past fiscal year. Overall, to date, the program has provided 9 improvement grants. We've also had a couple of development opportunity strategy grants. This is where we work with property owners to help them think about what future redevelopment of their property might be and do some feasibility analysis on that. Our ECDEV team has worked on a restaurant recruitment and retention strategy. One thing we've heard time and time again from some of you around the table, as well as citizens in the community, is that you want more restaurant choices in the core area. So we're listening, Knesset. Internally, we've created a downtown team for better coordination amongst different departments and different divisions, and they're pretty jazzed thinking about the possibilities, and you'll be hearing more about that next fiscal year as we get going with some new work program items. We've completed our 3rd Bureau 5-year action plan, and we are completing our 1st really extensive Bureau annual report. Later this month, we'll be rolling out a new and improved Bureau website. So next week, take a look. And I'm also really pleased to announce that we have just hired our 1st parking manager for the city of Beaverton. And this person will be on board in July, and you'll be working with her, I think, quite a bit in the next couple of years as we begin to think about how we want to manage our parking supply in this community. So, in the budget packet that was sent out to you, you received the mayor's proposed fiscal year 17-18 budget. What you also received was a revised budget based on updated information regarding the parking garage and, thank you, and some difficult choices that we had to make in order to ensure that we had funding available for the garage as well as other priorities in our work program. Patrick will talk to you a bit more about some of the fiscal impacts of it, but what I thought we might do is take a quick look at the five-year action plan matrix that's included in your packet. It's the color document, I think it's color. Is it color headed?
Yes.
And it shows over in the far left column the original mayor proposed budget, and then what staff are here this evening to propose to you under the revised budget for 17-18. Next year, we're proposing that the budget be $7.8 million. We're proposing that we structure it in a way that ensures we have resources for the parking garage over the next couple of fiscal years. We're still in the design phase, so we don't need more serious capital construction dollars until the next couple of years. We've tried to protect as much of the incentive programs as we could with storefront, DOS, and tenant improvements, but we've had to make cuts. In particular, we'd love to protect about $100,000 of tenant improvement money to offer to a restaurant project in the Old Town area as an incentive to get a restaurant in one of the prime locations in Old Town. We've maintained some funding for joint investments for affordable housing and development assistance, and really funding potential land acquisition funding for maybe one site. But we're going to go a little bit dry over the next couple of years, so we're going to have to get more creative in terms of how we can be engaged with property owners in the development community and get properties in the hands of developers that, understand their vision and want to help things move forward in this community. And then at the very bottom, you'll see funding for administrative overhead, debt service, audit services, etc. So as you can see, we've had to significantly reduce funding or eliminate funding for some line items because of the parking garage budget increases. These have been hard recommendations, but given the path that we're on with our TIF resources and our projections in the future, we think that this is the most prudent path at this point in time. And hopefully, over the next couple of years, our tax increment will actually increase, and so we'll be able to take on more activities as those resources are available. Now I think I'll turn it over to Patrick and have him talk with you about our projections and our growth and other opportunities in the district.
Okay, thank you, sir. First of all, what I thought we might do is go through your budget document package. We left off Ms. Tweedy was talking about the five-year plan. Following that is a series of goals and objectives of the Urban Redevelopment Agency. I didn't know if anybody had any questions or comments on those activities or that narrative. That's on pages 8, 9, 10, and 11, 12, and 13.
I think some of us did have questions on this current budget for 17-18, and we're going to come back to that.
Yes, we will.
One very small thing, page 13, up at the top. Thank you. This narrative is very helpful. But it says new construction projects include, and it mentions the Cracker Barrel restaurant and not the hotel. Under 2017-18, at the top.
Thank you.
Some of us are more excited about the hotel.
Okay, with that, let's go to the next couple of pages in that document. The next couple of pages is what I call a roll-up of the Bureau activity. So Bureau now consists of three funds, a general fund, a capital projects fund, and a debt service fund. And these next few pages roll up all of those funds into one document so that you can see that the total budget for the Bureau on the first page being revenues, the second page being expenditures, is we have $11 million worth of revenues coming in for Bureau, and we are expending $11 million, of which $1.3 million is in contingency of the Bureau general fund. So that's just kind of a high overview of the Bureau fund by the major categories of revenue, the major categories of expenses.
And you're talking about this year, because the contingency fund drops to 10,000.
So this year, the contingency is currently sitting at our proposed budget for this year. And I'm looking at page 15. It's going to be the where it says class 30 fund balances and contingencies. Our projected ending fund balance is going to be $1.3 million. After we go through this adjustment phase that we were talking about as far as adjusting the budget, that should increase to about $2.1 million, I believe. But we'll get to that. So the changes that we'll be recommending through this amendment package will actually increase our fund balance. Okay, let's go to the next page. And this starts with the Bureau's general fund. And it's on pages 16 and 17. So at the top of page 16, we start out with our beginning working capital. So we have about $1.17 million coming into the Bureau for this current proposed year. The next section of figures is taxes, and the biggest one being the Division of increment of taxes to be received for the renewal agency of $2.5 million. Then we have investment interest earnings of about $30,000. So our total resources of the Bureau General Fund is about $3.7 million coming into next year's budget. We flip to the next page, and for this, I think it'd be helpful for you to go to the amendment packet that is in front of you. And you can actually put that up above, and you can see that we've recopied these amendment package pages to show the reflection of the changes that staff is making. So if you flip through that package, you'll come to, again, page 18 and 19. And you will see some handwritten figures in there. And so those are the changes that staff is recommending to be made. So the first one is an affordable housing program. It currently had a proposed budget of $250,000. Staff is recommending that we be reduced by $50,000 to a new appropriation level of $200,000. Following on the next account for the tenant improvement program, we had budgeted $280,000. We're recommending reducing that by $100,000. To $180,000.
Would that make it one catalytic restaurant conversion or two catalytic restaurant conversions of $50,000? Or does it matter?
It's one catalytic restaurant project plus $30,000 for design grants, which is an addition from previous years to mimic what we have in the storefront program and the DOS program, and then the $50,000 of the regular storefront program.
Okay, so the worksheet would be updated to one catalytic at 100,000. You take what says tenant improvement at 80 and split it so that it's tenant improvement at 50, and then 30,000 for design?
It's the 80, it's part of the tenant improvement program, but yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then on account 509, acquisition due diligence, I recommended reducing that by 100,000 to a new appropriation level of 100,000. For professional services, recommending taking everything out of professional services except for the audit services of 6,000. Under the business storefront improvement program, cutting that in half, dropping it by $75,000 to a new appropriation level of 75. And then the development feasibility assistance program, crossing out all of the items that are crossed out on the right-hand side of the page to a new appropriation level of $325,000.
Is this an appropriate time for questions, or when do you want them on this?
Yes, that'd be appropriate. Any time is an appropriate time. Okay. As we go.
How do you want to handle it?
You can
just
okay. Want us to do this thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
at
Lacey had one.
Yeah. So I'm looking at what we're cutting in this area, and it's hard for me to take this separate from what's happening in the other parts of the budget since we're looking over all of them. But I'm looking at economic development's like massive increase of workload that's in the budget based on your statistics of like your benchmark metrics. And I'm just wondering how we decided to keep Western Avenue and cut some of these other fundamental programs. Like we see the storefront development program working so well. We see what it's doing to the downtown core with minimal investment. We're getting like multipliers of what's happening, and we're budgeted to spend $200,000 looking at Western Avenue when we're so focused on what's going on here. You're not getting an increase of staff. I'm just kind of wondering, how are you making these decisions? Since this isn't just isolated to Bura, you're in charge of kind of the whole thing. When I look at it, I would like to not see that much money spent on Western Avenue because we're not there yet with a lot of ideas, versus that money being input into some of these other storefront programs makes a lot more sense to me.
Well, a couple thoughts.
That's a loaded question, so.
Yeah. No. obviously, the Bureau has four different geographic areas,
right.
And almost all of our energy to date has been focused right here in the core. So one of the thoughts was that it was time to expand out and try to do some work because we're 5 years into the life of the district at this point in time. And as you heard through the West 5 presentation, there's a number of implementation activities, and the probably most significant recommendation coming out of that study is to create a multimodal Western Avenue. street. Today, there are no sidewalks, or there are limited sidewalks. There's no dedicated bike lanes. So what we're proposing is to begin that design process. We don't have capital dollars to begin construction, but there may be some regional sources we can pursue for that. But we were hoping to move that project along. Not only do we get sidewalks in an area that doesn't have sidewalks, and we know that's a high priority for council, and quality bike lanes, but we also create a way, or I should say an incentive for TriMet to provide better transit service to the district, because today they're not willing to bring transit down to Allen Boulevard unless there's sidewalks throughout Western Avenue.
And I'm obviously a huge advocate for sidewalks, but I work out in a neighborhood where there's not people on the road. So I'm wondering, like, when we're trying to decide if spending money on a sidewalk, are we going to put it in a residential neighborhood where there's hundreds of people that need access to it, or spend hundreds of thousands of dollars building a sidewalk on Western Avenue when it's only industrial at this point, where it's not really walkable? Like, there's nothing around there to walk to, there's no houses around there. I mean, besides Kaiser doing redevelopment, there's nothing, I mean, we have so many empty places, I think. And I understand wanting to, like, spread out some of the money, but, like, we can concentrate and do one awesome area instead of watering it down and kind of trying to do things in multiple areas. If I'm alone in that thought, that's fine. I just wanted you to have an opinion.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I would just say, obviously, this was a judgment, and we're very open to your thoughts and ideas. We have spent a fair amount of money on Storefront and DOS and TI. We've had, you know, many successful projects, so we thought that that by reducing those funds this year, we could still keep the program going. The truth is, we're going to hit a saturation point at some point. We don't know when that is, but we will have worked with most of the businesses and the property owners who are interested in taking advantage of that program.
Two things, one comment to it, kind of a question. Last time I remember having a pretty in-depth discussion about this area before we called it the West 5, there was talk about it would be a good area to bring in more small business, medium-sized business folks, so not just the industrial, that it would be a place that's still affordable in the city for our small businesses to move in and have a presence. And so if it really does, it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing. If we're gonna use it for that, then we want it to be more pedestrian friendly, because again, we're looking at a change of the nature, so it's kind of, we don't know.
But with no buildings, how is it affordable for a small business to go in and build something from the ground? Like, there's like nothing over there for people to move into. It's like big, flat, you know, like the sports offices, and you know what I mean? I just am having a hard time saying that that's where we want to have low in, or small, medium-sized businesses go. There's no buildings. It makes it really difficult if you have to come up with capital to build something.
At this point, the district is actually pretty healthy. The vacancy rate is quite low in most of the buildings that are really on the market. There's a handful of buildings that the owners have chosen to keep them off the market, and we don't have any control over that. So employment has grown in the area. It's a pretty activated area. It's more of a mixed-use area than a kind of traditional industrial area. We talked with business owners quite extensively as part of the West 5 study, and they did ask us for sidewalks and bike lanes. They thought it was important for the health of the area. They thought it would be safer for their employees to be able to move around. And as you said, it's kind of chicken and an egg. They don't walk and bike as much if it's not safe and convenient. So by providing real sidewalks and dedicated bike lanes, we can really dramatically change the environment. And then hopefully some of those vacant buildings that have been sitting vacant for a really long time will begin to be redeveloped.
And it's kind of a surprising area. There's a lot more activity than it looks like just driving by. There's what? 2,500 jobs or something currently in that area. I forgot the number, but it's pretty significant. I was surprised at how active, I mean, how much is really going on there that you don't really see.
And we have a food cart pod that is officially opened on Western Avenue by the Garage Warehouse building. This is about a block and a half south of the H Highway. So we're starting to get those little magnets that will draw people out.
And I would add to that, Kaiser is going to have a restaurant or cafe in their facility, which is a destination for those
business. So I think having that connection from what you think your planning commission you're at seems like it would really help the district.
And again, putting in sidewalks all the way from Ellen to the H Highway enables us to go back to TriMet and get better transit service into the district. Without the sidewalks, they won't bring the service in.
Okay, and I have just a question actually, too. I just wanted to a little bit more information about the affordable housing program, what we think those dollars would be used for. And I'm just curious, you know, what we expect to see there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just trying to find it in 506. Well, the beauty of our approach, I think, is that we're pretty flexible, and we have worked with a couple of different affordable housing developer owners and understood what their needs were and put our resources in a way that made sense and helped, you know, bring the project to feasibility. So, for example, we could give a grant to a project, we could give a loan to a project. And right now we're pretty flexible in how we approach it because, quite frankly, our resources are pretty small relative to other funding sources that would go into the projects.
Okay, so we don't have anything specifically set yet or coming down the pike that would give us some idea of what this might look like yet?
Well, you know, we're always talking to developers, and especially if they're looking at a market rate project, trying to encourage them to add some affordable units similar to what we did out here with the Westgate Rimbaud project. We used our affordable housing dollars to invest in 15 affordable units out of those 230 units. We would like to have a more defined program going forward, but I think until our resources get a little bit bigger, we're probably better being flexible and bringing proposals to you when they come into us.
Okay.
James, would you have
Yeah.
I basically have two questions that would relate to this document. And the first one is, can you clarify for me, I was going through this fairly carefully, matching line items, and maybe that's where I've gone wrong, but can you tell me the difference between the two amounts in the contingency line?
Do you want me to take a step? Yes. So, non-finance person, finance person. Okay. So we were trying to make sure that for 17, 18, as well as the future 4 years, that we were able to have each year balance with what our anticipated tax increment revenue was going to be with any leftover line of credit. So we have this $19 million pot of money that we have now. We'll be using that as we go. And then what we'll have left is just the tax increment revenue that comes in each year. And so when we were doing our liberal arts math, we knew we had to keep some contingency. Sorry, it's how we did it. We knew we had to have some contingency, but when we spoke with finance, right, what's the minimum amount we would need to have on a rolling basis, and that's what the $10,000 is. In actual fact, in each year, you're going to have a larger amount in the early years as we're spending down the accumulated tax increment revenue.
Thank you. One more question about this document. I noticed that we had one line item that increased, and so I like transportation connectivity. I'm wondering if someone can tell me what that would be buying us.
That's the West 5 design.
All of that is West 5. Thank you.
Mark?
Yeah. I want to go back to the West 5 discussion. It's interesting to hear your perspective on that. I think I'm still pretty strongly in support of continuing that effort, partly because I think that, you know, when you go and you spend a little time over at Western Avenue, you see old, and you see rundown, and you see businesses that are operating, but obviously very strong potential for somebody to take an interest in expanding or redeveloping. Maybe on-site in an existing building, as we've seen with Standard Bag, as we've seen with the Vermeer software kind of thing, where there's opportunities to improve right where you are. But I compare the Western Avenue area to the Nimbus area, where I used to work. I worked there for 4.5 years. And the Nimbus area has got this superb physical presence. that includes pedestrian amenities, that includes a nice sort of parkway-oriented transportation facility in the middle of it, that has restaurants at either end and office buildings and light industrial flex space in between. And I think there's really strong potential for Western Avenue to develop some of those kinds of characteristics over time. And I think that this is a good time for us both to continue the sort of deep research and study that we've begun there, and also to, you know, kind of show the city's face on making a significant improvement in that area that can tell the property owners, okay, this is the place the city is going to invest in, and it's going to make something happen. I mean, I think we've seen, you know, with this urban redevelopment agency and other urban redevelopment projects around the state, that the initial investment by the community is what draws people in, and the commitment from the community is what draws people in. And I think that, you know, we have this opportunity right now with interest from the business community down there to just, you know, build on their interest and support that interest with our resources here, so that they'll start to scratch their heads and say, okay, yeah, okay, we should consider doing that because the city's really engaged with this area. So I'm still comfortable with continuing that project. I don't, you know, it is a tough trade-off. And personally, I'm hoping for lots of upside on the tax increment revenue so that we can backfill some of these things, but you can't count on that. So I think I'm still satisfied with that.
Just one more comment to that too. I think that area also has the opportunity for the tax base to go up considerably too, because if they redevelop it, then it'll be commercial stuff, which generally provides more income per square foot than housing, and then it'll be money that's going in towards our railroad funds, at least in the short term. So I agree as well. Are we commissioners? Commissioners in CC? Budget committee members.
Just a quick question, Patrick. You said the contingency with these changes is going to go up.
Yes, it will be on the next page if you.
Given my experience, what I do is that when we see a need, we come back and say, let's bring it back from contingency and let's spend the money. Because you have a good point. If the SERF improvement keeps going, and they know somebody always says yes.
Yeah.
And so that's something to keep in mind.
If I could just add to what the mayor said, that's a really good point, because we've come back several times in the last couple of years. Storefront is expended, and we have people interested in the program, and you've come back and you've been very generous in approving additional dollars for that program.
I had one comment.
You can call yourself.
One item that was taken out, and I know it's important to some of the Europe members, is the anti-displacement strategy, which is a pretty small line item, but it seems like it could have a pretty big impact in kicking the can down the road. I feel like we're going to lose the opportunity to keep those businesses. So I just wanted to put that out there, that that might be something we want to keep in.
Let me start, and I'll ask Cadence to jump on. We have been very fortunate to receive a $100,000 equitable housing grant from Metro. And as we move forward with that scope of work and doing an RFP to select a consultant firm with us, we may be able to pick up some of this work as part of that grant, as opposed to it being more of a standalone project. We know affordable housing is very important to this community and to this board, and we're trying to be as creative as we can. But we felt it was probably more important to keep dollars available for some capital projects, getting some units built, than some additional study, given how tight the resources were.
Well, maybe I'm misunderstanding that. I mean, when we talked about it in Europe, we talked about it as a business anti-displacement strategy, not housing.
So you've both hit on kind of the two sides of the coin, right? So when we are talking about anti-displacement strategy, it's a two-pronged approach, both to for housing issues as well as business dislocation. And what we're hoping to do in the next fiscal year is to be able to advance that work, primarily with staff resources, which, as you know, are what they are. We have a finite number of people, but we've got a lot of folks, not only in the development division, but in planning and economic development, who are very interested in this work. And as Cheryl mentioned, because we're going to be embarking on this, the housing component of it, we're hopeful that we can also advance the business dislocation piece as well. It would always be great to have additional consulting resources available, but in a tight budget year, we thought that was something that we could forego.
One quick question. I noticed that placemaking in public art was zeroed out for the next 3 fiscal years, and then it's $50,000 in 2021 and 2022. Is a percentage of the construction cost for the Arts Center applied to the arts, and why does, if that's part of that $50,000, why does it show up in 2021 instead of 1920 when we hope to have the facility completed?
So both the Center for the Arts project as well as the parking garage will have 1% for art requirements. Those amounts are captured in the project budgets. So it's technically in the transportation and infrastructure section where we've got about $21 million. So a portion of that will be going to public art. And the same is true on the city side for the Center for the Arts, as well as the Crescent Connection that will be happening and any other kind of public projects that move forward. The $50,000 in 21-22 is just picking up other public art projects throughout the district. They're not associated with any other public infrastructure project.
Okay, so you're saying, trust me, it's really in that somewhere.
Yeah. Well, trust me, state law requires that we have to do it. It's part of the project budget.
Good. Okay, thank you.
And it'll be more than $50,000, so.
Okay, Chair Nye. Flipping the page, we're going to pages 20 and 21. This is the end of the Urban Renewal General Fund, and the only change here shows that we are increasing our contingency by about $820,000 from all those cuts that we saw on the previous page. So our projected ending contingency for next year will be about $2.1 million. That concludes the Bureau General Fund. We're going to flip the next page, and we're going to begin with the Capital Projects Fund. And the first page that we come to on pages 22 and 23 is the revenue side of the Capital Projects Fund. And there's really only one revenue side, and that's to borrow funding for projects. We basically have two projects budgeted for this next year. That's the parking garage and land acquisition. We are recommending that we increase our parking garage project by about $190,000. That's where you see the plus 190. We're recommending reducing our land acquisition program by $900,000. So a reduction of $900,000. So that brings the total that we're going to borrow from just below $7 million to about $6,255,000. So this is just the revenue coming in for projects. There's only one revenue source we have coming in, that's to borrow down on their line of credit. Okay, flipping the next page starts with the actual projects of the Capital Project Fund. And our first project, this project 6501, that's the parking garage. We had a budget of just over $4 million. We're recommending increasing it by $190,000 to $4,225,000. And Ms. Petros, I just put the $190,000 in construction. I didn't know where to put the $190,000, so I just put it in the construction line item on the following page, bumping up from $3.2 million to $3.4 million. So that's the one project that we have on the Capital Projects Fund.
Can I make a comment about the parking garage? I think it's important to know that we've assumed a time-certain construction start with our budget. So if that project is delayed extensively, it may be that the project cost will go up because time is money, inflation will hit the project. So please know that this is based on a particular set of assumptions about when that project will move forward.
Okay, going to the next page, is on page 26, 27. Our second capital project fund is our general Bureau Land Acquisition Program. We have designated $2.5 million for land acquisition, reducing that by the proposal of $900,000 to an acquisition program of about $1.6 million. And again, that would only be available if a piece of land came forward to the Urban Renewal Agency that the board would like to have staff proceed to enter into a purchase and sale agreement and purchase it. It's not any commitments, this is just a placeholder of funding. The next page is the Old Town Parking Garage, and we don't have any actual proposed expenditures for the Old Town Parking Garage at this time. And that concludes the what we call the Bureau of Capital Projects Fund 902. The next fund for Bureau is the Debt Service Fund, and this is a fund that is set aside to pay both interest and principal on borrowings that we have undertaken. The only thing that we have coming up this next fiscal year is the interest on the line of credit, and it's budgeted at $311,000. That's on the it's funded by a transfer in from the general fund of Bureau. So this is the revenue coming into the debt service fund of $311,000. If you turn the page, you'll see the same amount, $311,000, being expended as Bureau line of credit interest. And the $311,000, there's a calculation on the right-hand side under where it says fiscal year 17-18 budget, how that $311,000 is calculated.
Is the interest rate fixed?
No. The interest rate is 1.9% above the LIBOR rate on a floating monthly basis. And so that's based upon what we have drawn down. There is a fixed amount for what we have not drawn down. So we have a $19 million line of credit that the bank has had to set aside, and there's a cost for them to set a borrowing amount aside for us. For each dollar that we don't borrow, we pay 25 basis points, basically a quarter percent of interest. That, Mr. Chair, that concludes kind of the budget and a presentation as far as the changes. We'll entertain any questions, but the process of procedure is that we entertain a motion to accept the budget as presented, and we have discussion, and then hopefully one of the members would bring forward the amendment packet that was presented tonight to actually amend the budget. Call for discussion on the amendment, vote on the amendment up or down, and then vote on the main motion, budget as amended.
That clear?
That clear. We'll guide you right through it.
Done it before.
We have questions.
I have a question. I may have missed this, and I'll apologize if it's been said. But on this lovely colored page with the red on the bottom, there was a proposed budget of 10-2 and a revised budget of 7-8. Did I miss the discussion on how we got what happened to the $2.5 million? Then, if I did, then just skip it.
No. Actually, that is a good question, Paul. We're proposing to spend less this year in order to conserve resources for next fiscal year, the following fiscal year for the parking garage.
That makes sense.
So, if you look for fiscal year 18-19, right now the four-year action plan shows $12 million. And the bulk of that will go to the parking garage.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair? Yes. I'll be happy to make a motion that the Bureau Budget Committee approve the 2017-18 Bureau budget as submitted.
So we need a second
for
that.
Do you have a second?
Second.
And then
discussion?
Call for discussion, yes.
Is there any discussion?
I would be happy to move that the Bureau Budget Committee approve Amendment Packet Number 1 as presented by staff this evening.
I'll second that.
Any discussion on the amendment? Okay.
Then you take a vote on the amendment.
Right. So all those in favor of the amendment to the budget?
Aye.
All those opposed? Seeing none. The motion passes. And then any discussion on the budget with Lehman? Seeing none. All those in favor of the, oh, I guess we need a motion. No, we have a motion. We have a second. Sorry. All those in favor of passing the budget with the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
And all those opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. Yay. That's it for tonight.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you to our annual volunteers.
I like your liberal arts math.
Well, Mr. Finance Director, next year will we perhaps have a 1,200-page budget here?
Yeah, not quite. That's because I'm on right here.
Feel free to call to Jerry Rye. Let one of my staff know.
I was like, oh, I'm going to do this shot. And then I did it. It's like, oh, it's better than writing back.
I thought I'd go back to the
set now. But I did have to write back
to what's yeah. We could find the red lines in the house. Thank you, sir.
I'm going to use the time before that year.
Yeah.